Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by West End Orthopedic Clinic, TGI Fridays of Richmond, LeClaire Ryan Law Firm, Janny Montgomery Scott Brokerage, TheSaber.com, Virginia Athletics Foundation, LaMare Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, and Kelleher Heating and Air. Who's Talking is on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoo fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood. We bring UVA Athletics to you every Wednesday night, and we're glad that you've joined us tonight.
And this is Hobbo, and tonight we'll review the very disappointing loss by the Wahoos to ACC rival Duke on Saturday at Scott Stadium. The Hoos are now 2-2 in the ACC, 3-5 overall, and prepare to travel to hopefully sunny Miami this Saturday for a 12 noon TV game. Obviously, the Hoos need to circle the wagons and rally for a big rebound in November. As usual, we have some great guests scheduled for tonight's show. Former UVA quarterback Scott Gardner will join us shortly. Scott led the ACC in total offense in both 1973 and 1975. In addition, Saber editor Chris Wright will join us later in the show to analyze UVA football's remaining schedule, recruiting news, and coaching situation. And we're also hoping to have a brief segment with Dr. Jody Smith to update us on some of the injuries that the UVA football team is dealing with. Frank, will also later on let you know how to follow Who's Talking.
This is Frank. We are streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. Please encourage your friends and family and fellow Wahoos that live outside the Richmond metro area that they can still follow our show from long distance. We encourage you to send your questions and comments via email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com, or you can call us at 345-0910 just to voice your questions and comments. And we're looking for some feedback tonight. People must have opinions after what they saw this weekend. Our shows are archived on thesaber.com as well. We've also set up a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking and become a fan.
Frank, painful though it may be, it's time to review the Duke game Saturday at Scott Stadium. As we say, a painful loss, because certainly a game that Virginia had an opportunity, a great opportunity to win.
No doubt about that. As usual, Nate Collins and the UVA defense played gallantly before approximately 41,000 loyal fans in Scott Stadium on Halloween, but obviously it was not enough. The Hoos struggled on offense with total lack of production on the first three downs throughout the first half. They seemed to wait forever to try to establish the running game. And when the receivers were employed on passing plays, they rarely got open and made a lot of drops. And there were very few bright lights in the first half. Jameel Sewell was playing on a bad leg, and he needed some help, and he really didn't get it. The UVA defense was left on the field forever. I think late in the game, that probably had a lot to do with why the defense failed to stop the big play. UVA had the ball and a five-point lead with right around 8 minutes to go, but they couldn't put a drive together to run down the clock. And when you think about that, that's very disappointing, Jim.
Yeah, the big interception in the back of the end zone by Minifield with right around 8 minutes to go. Virginia gets the ball to 20-yard line. Opportunity to utilize some clock, and as we discussed before we came on air, you know, my sense just sitting there in the press area was that if Virginia was not able to move the ball at that point in time and Duke got the ball back, it was not going to be good news for the Cavs.
No doubt. My question right out of the gate was, why didn't UVA come out in a jumbo formation and hit Duke right in the mouth with some power football?
Yeah, so much for sending an early message and setting the tone.
I was shocked that 240-pound Rayshon Jackson was not used heavily at the start of the game. This goes back to the Maryland game. He played a fantastic fourth quarter. They did not utilize him properly in the rain against Georgia Tech. That still drives me crazy. UVA waited till the second half against Duke when they were down 9-3 to finally bring Jackson out of the stables. And what did he do? He helped him go right down the field. He brought the safeties up. Next thing you know, Sewell finds an open Jared Green and makes a nice run after the catch, and before you know it, we're in business.
Yeah, what happened to the concept of time of possession, trying to keep the ball away from a very potent Duke offense?
It just blows my mind, actually. I was glad to see that UVA put the quarterback under center once they did get down to first and goal there early in the third quarter, and was not surprised that Sewell scored easily on that QB sneak. And it makes me think back to the Georgia Tech game where we had that early drive at the beginning of that game, and they lined up in that spread formation with Sewell in the shotgun, and we didn't get anything. And
you had to settle for a field goal there. I mean, it's going back a week ago, but, you know, certainly that was an opportunity early in that game to take a lead, score a touchdown with first and goal at the two. When you're an underdog in a game against a really good football team, you got to take advantage of situations like that. But that we're going back to Georgia Tech and not talking Duke all of a sudden.
We're going back to Duke. Again, special teams are mediocre. I said that last week as well. Chase Minifield let several punts bounce in front of him. He ran backwards on a punt return and lost yardage. That's generally a cardinal sin. Kickoff returns were weak again. There was one nice return, but there were some others that were pretty poor. The veteran punter, Howell, was benched, and his substitute performed very poorly in the second half. And in fact, one of his punts led directly to a score, I think. The Hoos lost the lead and ultimately the contest, though, when Duke's quarterback hit the wide receiver on the post pattern with just a little bit less than 4 minutes to go in the game. He beat Chris Cook for a TD on that post pattern. There was no safety help on top to prevent that big play. Don't understand that at all. Just do not understand it. Why you would not have some safeties back to protect against the big play. On the ensuing kickoff, the Hoos were flagged for block in the back during the return. That led to a bad situation for Sewell and the offense. They were starting, I believe, at about the 13-yard line, Jim. And two misfires, and then Sewell held the ball too long on third and long. Got hit from behind, was stripped. A Duke defensive lineman picked it up and walked into the end zone. And a close ball game ended rapidly, and the fans exited.
To use your familiar terminology from tennis, game, set, match.
That's exactly correct.
At that point in time. And, you know, and it goes back to the special teams. You know, Virginia gets the ball after the interception, 8 minutes, can't move the ball. They kick it back to Duke. Duke gets it with approximately 5.5 minutes to go. That's when they go down, get the 42-yard touchdown pass. But on the ensuing kickoff, as you say, Virginia gets real bad field position because of that block in the back.
All right, we've got Garen on the line. Let's bring Garen on. Garen, hey, welcome to Who's Talking. What have you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the play calling on Saturday. I just thought it was questionable at best. I'm just not sure if Bro really has it anymore. He just seems to be changing his program and sending it straight down the pooper. I mean, excuse my language, but it's a mediocre program. It's going nowhere fast. They're still paying salaries to people. And I just think that this university is an embarrassment. I mean, I feel bad for you guys. If this is your job, you got to try to talk about UVA. It's awful. I really feel bad for you guys because it's a third-rate college. It's terrible. Your thoughts?
Well, Garen, I will tell you a couple thoughts. No doubt this has been a surprisingly difficult season. There's no way to tap dance around that. I think no one would have ever expected the two games and then the switch over away from the spread offense. The first two games were disastrous. We would have been better off sticking with the old offense, using the jumbo package more or less with Coulter Phillips and Joe Torsha at tight end, and maybe even using two backs in the backfield with Rashawn Jackson blocking for Mikel Simpson. And I think certainly Virginia could have come out of those first couple of games with a few less bloody noses and could have set a better tone going into the ACC schedule. So play calling has been suspicious times.
The offense throughout the year, as you say, going back to the first couple of games against William & Mary and TCU, the offense was almost non-existent, as it was in the first quarter on Saturday with 1 yard net for the offensive output on Saturday. So it has been disappointing throughout the year from an offensive standpoint, no question about it.
Well, you know, I've got a question for our listeners. Overall, what does this loss on Saturday mean for UVA football and Coach Al Groh?
He needs to go. I think it's clear he needs to go. His time has passed, and I think they're just trying to wait to buy out his contract. What do you guys think?
Well, it's you've put us on the spot, and
well, it was interesting to me, and I guess I'm admitting something I shouldn't admit as someone who covers the team. But I did leave the stadium with a couple 3 minutes to go, and got to my car, and I was interested. Turned on the radio broadcast at the end of which Frank Quayle made reference to the fact that he found it very difficult to think that Al Groh was going to be able to achieve in the last four games what needed to be achieved for him to be back as coach in 2010. So, I mean, even when your radio guys start to mention the fact that things are looking rather bleak, I think it tells you something.
Well, clearly Virginia sitting at 3-5 and 2-2 in the conference, this is not what any Wahoo donor, season ticket holder, general UVA fan had ever envisioned. And when you couple that with the slide that they went through at the end of last season, where they lost those last three or four games, it's very difficult to see a scenario, barring an immediate turnaround in these last four games, that could turn out more positively for Coach Groh and his staff. And it pains us because I think, honestly.
Well, it also, you know, I wrote down some numbers here from a business decision standpoint. You look at the attendance for the home games thus far this year. It has been 56, 48, 46, 43, 41. If you add that up over time, that's 71,000 under capacity. You multiply that times $40 a ticket. I realize the ticket prices vary, but that's $2.8 million in lost potential revenue if you had every seat occupied throughout the whole home season.
Jim, we're looking forward to having former UVA quarterback star Scott Gardner joining us after the break. So we're going to take our first break at this time, and look forward to everyone getting back to us. Our phone number here is 345-0910. We want your feedback tonight. Please give us a call.